We're looking at Genesis 1, and we're looking at some scriptures, some reading from John 20. And you could look at those scriptures as being the beginning and what seemed like the end. The beginning when God created from those turbulent waters, and the end when those disciples wondered what was going to happen. It felt like their world had ended. Jesus had been crucified, and everything they knew came to an end. But in both instances, the Holy Spirit was there at the time of creation and with those disciples when they felt the world had crumbled. So as you hear these readings today, listen for the work of the Holy Spirit and think about how that Spirit works in your life.
From Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, this version is from the Living Bible. When God began creating the heavens and the earth was at first a shapeless, chaotic mass, with the Spirit of God brooding over the dark vapors. Then God said, "Let there be light," and light appeared. And God was pleased with it, and divided the light from the darkness. So he let it shine for a while, and then there was darkness again. He called the light daytime and the darkness nighttime, and together they formed the first day. The word of God for the people of God.
Our gospel this morning comes from John chapter 20, and it's verses 19 through 23. That evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors in fear of the Jewish leaders, when suddenly Jesus was standing there among them. After greeting them, he showed them his hands and side. And how wonderful was their joy as they saw their Lord. He spoke to them again and said, "As the Father sent me, even so, I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and told them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you refuse to forgive them, they are unforgiven." The word of God for the people of God.
Let us be in prayer. Almighty and amazing God, we have gathered at your place today. May our hearts be open to hear the message you have for each one of us through song and prayer and this spoken word. May we feel your presence. In your most holy name we pray. Amen. Okay, it might seem odd to start a sermon about the Holy Spirit with Casper. But when I was a child, we didn't call it the Holy Spirit. We called it the Holy Ghost. And I would ask my mom, "Well, what does the Holy Ghost look like?" And she'd say, "Evie, we don't know." And that answer did not sit well with me. Mm-mm. So one Saturday morning when I was watching the cartoon Casper the Friendly Ghost, I went running out to my mom and I said, I know what he looks like. It's Casper." Of that, I was sure. Now, perhaps that's not a bad understanding for a child, because I had been told that the Holy Ghost was friendly and the Holy Ghost would help you whenever you needed it. And that's what Casper did in those cartoons. except that adults in particular didn't understand him and would freak out and scream and run away whenever they saw him. And sometimes I think we're a little bit like that when it comes to the Holy Spirit. We don't understand its power and its presence in our lives, and we're actually a little afraid of it because of its association with chaos, with the wind and fire of Pentecost, with the swirling waters and the darkness of creation. I bet not many of us want it to come roaring in here on this morning. Probably you would be headed for the back door or the side doors or whatever door you could find. But we have to remember that out of that formlessness that Genesis 1 talks about, out of that darkness, God created the first day, and God created light and called it good. And that same God, that very same God, was there and breathed life into Adam. And that very same Holy Spirit greeted Jesus as he rose up out of the Jordan waters. And that very same Spirit is there for each and every one of us. And that very same Spirit of God calls us beloved and breathes into us life so that we can learn to live in a new way in this chaotic and unpredictable and yet beautiful world that God loves so much. Genesis 1, that whole story, theologians and historians tell us, is not so much a statement of historical fact. It doesn't tell us how long a day is. It doesn't tell us if dinosaurs roamed the earth. But theologians agree that it was probably a statement of faith at a very horrific time in the lives of the Israelites. They had been taken captive by the Babylonians, and everything that they knew had been destroyed and lost. And they were there. And a couple of scholars, I love the question they asked. They said they were probably all there in Babylon wondering, was their God powerful enough to be with them? Was their God powerful enough to help them out of the situation they're in? And in Genesis 1, when you hear about the power of God taking the chaos and creating beauty and creating day and creating night, that would have been an answer to those in captivity, an answer that was a resounding yes, that God was able to take something that was dark and chaotic and out of control and make something and call it good. That would have helped them so much during that time. Because you see, the Holy Spirit is the breath of love. It's the breath that gives us courage. It is the breath that doesn't change circumstances we are in, but allows us to be with those in a way that we can handle it. You see, the Holy Spirit's there throughout the Bible. It has so many different names. It's called the Comforter, the Spirit of Life. It's called Blessed One. It is also called Gift Giver, Sustainer. On and on the list goes. It is there. Almost every book of the Bible that we can read. We are reminded that in the Gospel of Matthew, it even tells us that the Holy Spirit will pray for us when we're so devastated that we don't even know how to pray, that we can trust that the Holy Spirit is praying for us. And the Gospel of John reminds us that the Holy Spirit works in our heart to bring about a newness in our lives, a newness that will lead us in the direction we need to go. And Psalm 139, one of my favorite psalms, asks the question, where can I flee from your Spirit? And the answer? Nowhere. Everywhere we go, the Holy Spirit is there with us to help us, to guide us, to sustain us. It gives us the courage and the strength to face our fears. Fear. Fear is devastating. It's devastating because it leads us, when a community becomes fearful, a community then wants to fortress itself. It wants to make sure that it is safe and separate from everything else out there that it considers unsafe. And that's exactly what happened to those first disciples. There, Jesus had been crucified. Everything they knew and had hoped for was gone. And even though earlier in chapter 20 in the Gospel of John, Jesus had commissioned Mary Magdalene to go tell them that she had seen the resurrected Lord, their fear was so great they could not believe her. And so there they are, huddled in the last place they had been with Jesus, probably huddled there in the upper room. And they are quaking, and they're probably not saying very many words except maybe wondering where Thomas was at, because he wasn't there. And it's into that strong fear that Jesus breaks in. Locked doors could not keep him out. He broke in. And the first thing he does is greet them. He greets them and he shows them his hands and his wounds, and they get it that it's him, and they are jubilant. It is him. And then he says to them, as God has sent me, so I send you. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think those would have been really comforting words in that moment, because they knew what had just happened to Jesus. But they were so elated. And Jesus didn't leave them there. Jesus breathed into them the Holy Spirit. Suddenly, instead of breathing in and out fear, they were breathing in power and love. They were breathing in a peace that was taking over them. Because before, the fear was so palpable, they could hardly take in a breath. And now here was Jesus in front of them, showing them a new way of living once again, breathing into them the power that they would need. But then it might seem like a little bit of a divergence here, but those words, you go out and if you forgive sins are forgiven, and if you don't forgive sins are not forgiven, does that bother anybody? Do you want the power to forgive sins? Could Jesus really have been saying that we have that power to decide whose sins are worthy of forgiveness? Who gets the ticket to heaven and who doesn't? See, the Greek and the English get all mixed up, translation after translation. And so you got to go back. You got to go back to the Greek to see what that says. What was Jesus saying about the Holy Spirit? And it tells us that I am sending you to witness. To witness. And if you witness, and if people hear my message of love and forgiveness, then they will have the ability to be loosened, to be loosed is the word, from their sins. They will have seen Jesus at work, God at work in their lives, the Holy Spirit at work, and they can be loosened from their sins. But if you don't witness, if you don't go out there and share what I have taught you, then they will continue to be bound to their sins. So the words in the Greek are loosed and bound. They're bound to their sins because they have never heard the word. They've never known that they could be forgiven. They've never known that they could start again. They would never known that they could be loved by God. There's a scripture that says, How are they to know if they have not heard? And how are they to hear if we do not speak? And so here in this sending out, we're sent out with that power of the Holy Spirit. We're sent out to be what God wants us to be. You know, we can get fearful and we can decide to hunker down, but it's not what God calls us to do. God calls us to be the living presence in this day and in this time. Theologian John O'Day said that we are not given the power to forgive moral transgressions. That's God's job. We are given the power to forgive hurt and to forgive others for pain they've created. We are given the power to witness. We are given the power to accept forgiveness that others offer us and that God offers us. But we don't have the power to decide which sin is worse than another sin or which sin God is going to judge a certain way. That's not what Jesus gave those disciples, and that's not the power the Holy Spirit gives us. But it does give us the power to live with the resurrected Jesus inside of us and bring that love to this world that is in so much darkness. Oh, man, the Holy Spirit can give us so much. And yet, it's probably of the Trinity the least talked about and the least understood. Because of what I said to the children, God, we kind of got a little bit of a handle of. God created. God was there at the beginning. God's been there forever. God came as Jesus, so we have a form. We have a man. We have something to relate to. But the Holy Spirit, it's Casper. You know? It's Casper. And for me as a child, that meant all the difference in the world to at least have some image to equate it to. And it broods over our troubled waters of our world today. The Holy Spirit is brooding over them, willing and creating something new that maybe we can't even see and tell right now. And it's hovering all around us, ready to break into our own darkness and our own fears and our own insecurities and to show us a brand new way of living. For those of you that were here last week, remember when Pastor Sharon said, you are anointed to go forth in the name of Jesus in love. And you came up, many of you did, and you were anointed. What were you anointed with? It was more than just the oil. Because in that moment of anointing, there was that space for the Holy Spirit to enter into you. And to anoint you for the work that the Holy Spirit wants you to do right here, right now. You know, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of love. It's the Spirit of creation. It's the Spirit of hope. And that Spirit will never lead you down avenues of fear and prejudice. Never will it lead you down those streets. Never will it support you living in fear of others who are not like you. You know, I don't know about you, but sometimes I get really fearful. I get really fearful of a lot of things, and it can be almost as overwhelming as what those disciples must have been feeling. And I particularly get really fearful if I listen to the news too much. Because all I hear on the news is that I'm supposed to be afraid of everybody. And it's not just immigrants I'm supposed to be afraid of. Somebody else will say, I need to be afraid of congressmen and women. Somebody will say, I need to be afraid of the super wealthy. Somebody else will need to say, I need to be afraid of reporters. I need to be afraid of judges. I need to be afraid. Afraid, 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 afraid. And because that is out there so much, we begin to believe that. That we should fear. And the Holy Spirit will never support us living in fear. It will support us and lead us and empower us to live in love and understanding, to live in a space where we can be in healthy conversation with people we don't understand or we don't agree with, who are not like us. It will come to us just as Jesus came to those disciples and allow us to breathe in the fresh air of peace and love. When has the Holy Spirit last touched you? You know. When has the Holy Spirit last broke through a barrier in your heart or in your life? You know. When has the Holy Spirit empowered you in a situation that you thought was hopeless? Or one where maybe your fear was so palpable you thought that may be all you would feel the rest of your life, or your uncertainty? You know. But will you share with your neighbor? When I was a pastor at Poquag United Methodist Church in New York, a woman in her 30s came up to me and said, I wanted to share with you a story. She said, I had the same college roommate for 4 years. And she said, during my college days, my life spiraled out of control. And every night, I saw her reading a little bit from this book. And many times I wondered what it was, but I was too fearful to ask, she said. And my roommate never shared. And she said, I graduated barely. And she said, for the next few years, I went down the drain into alcohol and drugs and just spiraled downward. She said, until somebody told me about Jesus. And she said, it was then that I realized that every night my roommate was reading from the Bible. And she said, I wonder why neither one of us said anything. But she also said, I wondered what different choices I might have made in life if she would have shared with me the power that she knew. So you know that power. Will you share it with a neighbor in need? A person who feels displaced? Someone who is in fear? Will you share your stories? Because when we do it as a community and we're each individually sharing, we will change our world. And of that, I am certain. Amen.